Matthew chapter 22, as we continue in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is teaching in the temple courts just a few days before he would go to the cross. And he tells another parable here in Matthew chapter 22. Listen to the story that Jesus shares. Verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my feast, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take the words of this parable and help me to expound the truth of this parable. Help us to receive the truth and to be impacted by it. And I pray if there's anyone here, anyone that listens to this message, that has not yet accepted the invitation to enter into the blessed kingdom that you have prepared, Lord, may today be the day they trust Christ as Savior. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. At the close of the parable, Jesus added some solemn words in verse 14. He said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Many will be called to enter into the kingdom of God and the blessings of that kingdom, but comparatively few will truly accept the invitation and enter into the kingdom. How sad. Well, in this text today, we're going to see some of the reasons why too many people refuse the invitation. And we're also going to see what our mission as a church is. We have been recipients of this gospel invitation, and we are to extend that invitation to others, that the kingdom of heaven might be full. And so I hope we will accept that challenge. And if there's anyone who hasn't accepted this invitation, I hope today you'll be convinced to trust Christ as your Savior. Now, there are several lessons we can draw from the parable. And the first is this, that God has given you a royal invitation. We've all been invited to special events, special celebrations, maybe a birthday party, maybe a wedding celebration, or an anniversary celebration. It's a privilege to be invited and to be able to attend such joyful occasions. Well, even so, the king in this parable issues an invitation to certain individuals to come and celebrate with him the marriage of his son. And we see some lessons from this invitation given forth by the king, who represents God the Father, and the Son, of course, represents Jesus, the Son of God. The first is this: you are invited to partake of great joy. They were not invited to a funeral, folks. They were invited to a wedding where there would be joy and happiness and feasting. It would be a joyful, joyful occasion. And we see that the joy of the occasion would be enhanced by a spread of food like the people had rarely seen. This would be the king's banquet, the king's wedding feast. The oxen, the cattle would be slaughtered. There would be plenty of food for all, and all would partake in the joy of that celebration. And even so, God has invited us to enter into a kingdom of joy. I look forward to the day when Jesus comes again, as we sang about. When Jesus sets up His kingdom, and at the very beginning of that kingdom, before that kingdom begins, there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we will celebrate the King and His entrance into the kingdom and our relationship with Him. But listen, you don't have to wait until you get to heaven. You don't have to wait until Jesus comes again to experience the joy of the kingdom. Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you as a believer. You can already begin to experience the joys of the kingdom now. Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I've spoken unto you, that your joy may be full and that your joy may remain." One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. You know, when God's people get together, especially if it's people that are walking with the Lord, who know the joy of the Lord, listen, there is joy among God's people. There is rejoicing among God's people. And that ought to characterize our worship, joyful worship. Yes, God has invited us to experience His joy and the joy of His kingdom. Another lesson is this: that God's invitation is freely given. You know, when you invite people to a wedding, you do not include $25 tickets must be paid in advance before you can attend. No. The host of the wedding provides the food and all the festivities at no charge. It's freely given to all who may be invited to attend. And even so, God's gift of the kingdom is freely given. God's gift of forgiveness is freely given. God's gift of eternal life is freely given. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And even the Old Testament predicted the freeness of the gift of God. Isaiah 55:1, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat." Poor and rich alike, listen, it doesn't matter. The king freely invites these folks to come to celebrate the marriage of His Son. But it also illustrates another truth, that God's invitation was first offered to Israel. Notice the king didn't invite everybody in the kingdom, but only certain individuals. Now, you know who that would have been, right? It would have been the king's extended family. It would have been members of his servants. Those worked in his kingly administration and their families, they would have been invited. But in this parable, it is clear that the ones that were first invited were the children of Israel, the seed of Abraham. The invitation was first given to them. And that was God's plan, was offered to Israel. And, you know, at the time of Jesus, not only had the prophets invited people to enter into the kingdom, not only had John the Baptist invited people to enter into the kingdom, but Jesus came saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you can enter into the kingdom. And there was hardly a nook or cranny in all of the holy land of Israel who had not heard of the invitation of Jesus. And so the invitation, first of all, went to the Israelites. But we see in this parable that most of those who received the invitation said no. They weren't interested. They would not enter into the marriage feast of His Son. And so this parable illustrates the fact that God's invitation is now offered to all. Look at verses 8 and 9. Then He said to His servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." Since the first guests refused the invitation went much more broadly, much more broadly. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. You know, that language is a little bit reminiscent of this very parable. And so the invitation is now extended to all people. All people. Folks, that's us. We Gentiles are now included in the invitation to enter into the kingdom of God. No one is excluded. Doesn't matter what your race or nationality is. As we see in verse 10, whether you're good or bad, it doesn't matter. All people are invited to enter into the kingdom of God. But we see another truth illustrated in this parable, and it is this, that we are to share the King's invitation to all. Most of us in this room have already accepted the invitation. We've already entered into the kingdom of God. And so this part of the parable is what's most relevant to us. You see, just as the king sent servants to give the invitation first to the Jews and then to all, even so, God has entrusted to us the responsibility to invite others into the kingdom of God. And I see some truths that will guide us as we do what God wants us to do. And the first is this, go to where the people are. Verse 9, therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Now what's he talking about there? The particular word translated highways means this, that you would have a big city with walls and gates. And as you go through the gate, there would be a road, and then that road would branch into two or three different directions. And so the highways refers to the intersections there where many people would pass in and out of the city. And so the king was telling, go to the places where you'll find the most people and invite them to my son's wedding. And even so, we are not to just wait around to see who's going to show up and hear the gospel inside the four walls of a church where we may gather, but we are to take the gospel, the invitation, out to where the people are, where we work, where we go to school, in our neighborhood. We are to take the gospel to the nations through our missionaries. Yes, we are to go to where the people are. How many How many have you invited into the kingdom of God lately? How many have you invited to come hear the gospel at your church? Go to where the people are and exclude no one. Verse 10, the king said something surprising, no doubt. He says, they gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. King said, as many as you find. He didn't put stipulations or limitations on it. And so they obeyed the king and invited all, and it included both the bad and the good. The word bad there is actually a strong word. It means evil, lawbreakers, rebellious, ungodly people. Even they were to receive the invitation. And why is that? What's the symbolism here? What's the point of the parable? Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. It's not the well that need a physician, but the sick. And the Son of Man is called, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so we are to take the gospel not just to the, quote, good people of society, but to all people of society. Whether they're good or bad, evil, it doesn't matter. Why? Because Jesus is the one that can forgive all sin. Jesus is the one who can transform a sinner into a saint. Yes, we are to exclude no one. And then we are to seek to fill God's house and God's heaven. Notice the result of going and inviting everyone. It says in the last of verse 10, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. That's what the king wanted. He wanted a large crowd celebrating the wedding of his son. And even so, we see the heart of God here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, God wants his kingdom full of people. God wants his heaven full of people. And I have good news. According to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, by the time Jesus comes again, heaven will be filled with people from every tribe and every nation. Multitudes that you could hardly count. Yes, we are to fill God's house. It's kind of hard to do that with coronavirus, you know, with social distancing right now. But, we can fill football stadiums, you know, back before coronavirus, right? Man, we could fill basketball arenas before the coronavirus hit. Why can't we fill God's house? That's what we ought to be doing. And another truth that we see in this parable is this: decide how you will respond to the invitation. So the invitation has gone out, not just to the original recipients, but to all people. And they hear the invitation, come to celebrate the marriage of the king. And each individual has to decide how we're going to respond to the invitation. Will you say yes? Or will you be like some in this parable and say no? Well, notice that salvation is a choice of the will. We see in the last of verse 3 that they were not willing to come. They were not willing to come. That's why they didn't accept the invitation, because they didn't want to. You know, one thing I've noticed about people do what they want to do. And if they don't want to do it, a lot of times they won't do it. And listen, the issue in whether you go to heaven or not is not that God doesn't want you there. It's your choice if you're not there. If you don't end up there, it's a problem of the will. And let me tell you something. Sin has severely damaged the will of man. We have an inclination away from God. And if you're going to be saved, you need to turn to God and ask Him to change your will so that you say yes to Jesus. Salvation, folks, is a choice of the will. You must choose Christ. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely, the book of Revelation says. But also, don't take God's invitation lightly. That's what they did, verse 5. But they made light of it. Now, why would they say they made light of the king's invitation? Because it's the king's invitation. Listen, you don't make light of the king's invitation. If the king invites you to come, you come, right? How dare you not accept the king's invitation? But these individuals made light of it. Literally, they didn't care. There are so many people who fail to recognize the gravity of the fact that the king of the universe has issued a gospel invitation to believe in His Son Jesus and enter into the kingdom. And there are multitudes of people who make light of it and say it's of no consequence. Don't be among them. Hebrews 2:3 warns, how shall we escape if we neglect, if we make light of so great a salvation? Furthermore, don't choose worldly pursuit over Christ. You know why they made light of it? You know why they refused the king's invitation? It tells us in the last of verse 5, they went their ways, one to his farm and another to his business. Now you have to understand, folks, in this day and time, it's kind of like it is in Africa and some other cultures. When they have a wedding, man, it's a super big event. And it will last for several days. Not just for several hours, but for several days. And so when they heard the invitation, some of them said, well, you know what? I'm kind of busy. I got a farm to work. I'm kind of busy. I've got a business to tend to. My farm, my business is more important to me than my king, they were actually saying. And there are so many people, their business is more important to them than God. Their hobbies are more important to them than God. Their sin is more precious to them than their God. And though they hear the invitation to repent and believe in Jesus, they say it's of no consequence. I've got something more important. And yet Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? And then furthermore, don't imagine that outward acceptance is enough. Many refused the king's invitation, but many also accepted the king's invitation. But notice what we have in verse 11. There's a twist in the story. But when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Didn't have on a wedding garment. Now the king knew he was inviting all kinds of people. And so he came to greet them and introduce himself to them and, you know, respect them, so to speak. And he noticed one oddball. You see, the king had provided festive, beautiful wedding garments to all the guests, but this guy did not accept his, but he says, you know, I like what I'm wearing. You know, I don't need what the king has provided for me. And so he just goes right on in there without his wedding garment. And you know what he is like? He is like people who say, you know what? I like myself the way I am. I'm a good guy. I try to live by the Ten Commandments. I go to church. I'm a righteous person. I don't need the righteousness of Jesus. I should be able to be accepted into heaven just with what I am and what I have. Folks, listen. Your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God, according to the prophet Isaiah. You need the righteousness of Christ. And yet this guy also illustrates many people who outwardly accept the king's invitation. They come to church, they get baptized, they get their name on the church roll, they're here most Sundays. They're among God's people, but in their heart, they're not one of God's people. Could that possibly be true of you this morning? And so that leads to this question of whether you have truly accepted God's invitation. Many in verse 10 looked like they had accepted the invitation, but Jesus warned in verse 14 that many are called, but few are chosen. There's going to be a lot of people who thought they were one of God's people, and they're going to find out they weren't. Jesus says there's few that will prove that they are truly among the elect of God. Could that be true of you? You know, the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're relying not on yourself and your righteousness, but that you have truly repented and that you are relying wholly upon Jesus' blood and righteousness, as the hymn says. Well, suppose you are among those who have heard the gospel invitation. You've heard about this kingdom God has for you. And yet, you're saying, no, I'm not giving up my sin. I'm not giving up my worldly pursuits. Other things are more important to me. Well, you need to understand and consider the high cost of rejecting the king's invitation. If you do not accept this invitation from God, if you do not trust Christ as your Savior, then I want you to understand this. The king will surely examine you someday. Just as the king came and examined the wedding guests, even so the Bible says the day is coming when we will stand before the King of the universe, and we will be judged. And at that judgment, Revelation 20, the Bible says that the book of life will be opened. And in that book, the Lamb's book of life, every person who have truly repented and believed in Jesus, their name is in that book. And the question is your name in the Lamb's book of life? Make sure, because God is going to reveal it someday. Is your name in the book? Are you truly among the elect of God? And then there's no excuse for any failure to accept Christ. This is illustrated in verse 12 when the king confronted this man. The Bible says in verse 12, he was speechless. What excuse could he offer? He couldn't say, well, I'm too poor to have a nice garment. It was freely provided by the king. It was an act of disobedience. And so he had no excuse whatsoever. And when you stand before God someday and he examines your life and your name's not in that book, and you start saying, well, but I've lived a good life. I've tried to live by the Ten Commandments. The Bible also says in that day, the books will be opened. And every sin that we've ever committed is recorded in that book. And there'll be no excuse. You will stand condemned. And Romans 3:19 says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. No excuses. No excuses. And to reject God's invitation invites serious judgment. First of all, for the nation of Israel, illustrated in verse 7, but when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Sometimes in those ancient days when a city committed treason and rebellion against a king, this type of thing would happen. He would send in his armies, and he would destroy that city. Well, Israel persistently rejected the invitation of God, even killed the prophets and killed the Son of God. And so we are not surprised that 40 years later, the Romans came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and destroyed Israel as a nation. But not only was there a consequence nationally, but there is a consequence personally for those who refuse to accept the invitation of the king. Notice verse 13. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The person that thought his own garments were good enough was bound and sent away to face the judgment that he deserved. What a contrast, folks, to the light and the joy of the wedding banquet. He would face the darkness and the sadness and sorrow of eternal hell. The language you see there is found 7 times in the Gospel of Matthew as Jesus solemnly describes what hell is like. Oh, listen. God is so good to give an invitation to enter into His kingdom, to be forgiven of all of your sins, to have eternal life, to experience joy both now and in the kingdom to come. And the question is that when the kingdom comes and the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, will you have a seat at the table? Will you have a seat at the table? Have you said yes? If not, I invite you when we sing the invitation in just a moment to truly repent of your sins and trust in Jesus as your Savior. Say yes to God's invitation to be saved. Most of us have made that decision. May God impress upon our heart that between now and when Jesus comes again, between now and when we take our last breath, that we will invite others to enter into the kingdom of God. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truths of this parable. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work powerfully to bring souls to Christ through this message. And Lord, help us to recommit ourselves to sharing this invitation with others. May your church and your kingdom be full, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.